most perplexed Aristotle and everybody ever since. And a lot of people wonder whether ball lightning really exists. Now, a team from the Energetic Materials branch of the US Air Force Research Laboratory think they may have managed to recreate something like ball lightning in the lab. Dr. Michael Lindsay is the man who led the study.
So ball lightning is attributed, it's sort of a catch-all phrase for phenomena observed in nature that don't really align with what we traditionally think of as lightning or St. Elmo's fire or aurora. It's generally described as a glowing spherical orb that often occurs after a lightning strike and can persist for a few seconds.
And sometimes seems to run across the ground, is that right?
There are reports of that, including walking or moving inside a piece of people's homes through an open door.
I've even heard of ball lightning supposedly shooting down the fuselage of a plane. That may be apocryphal, but it's a story that's told.
There are all sorts of stories, and it's unclear, because of the difficulty in actually probing these things scientifically, as to how many of them are reputable versus just illusions that one can see.
Yeah, right. Anyway, you set to make ball lightning in a lab, or to get as close as you could. Did you succeed?
Well, I think the word is still out on that. What we did succeed in doing is probing a phenomenon that shares many resemblances and elucidate a little bit more about the chemistry that's occurring. They're quite fascinating systems.
What did you actually do? How much energy did you need?
So what we did was we passed a large amount of electricity from an electrode that protrudes slightly from the surface of a water solution. And when you pass a lot of electricity to that surface, you naturally get this glowing plasma that floats up above.
Isn't that the sort of thing that Nikola Tesla was supposed to have done?
Well, that's a good question. There are some that claim, and I've actually read his notes from his work in Colorado Springs in the U.S., that indeed he did create this reliably. He talks extensively about these dancing balls, which he called fireballs, that went through the air. It's likely that that's a different phenomenon than what we study, but there are many similarities.
And when you produced this ball of plasma, how long did it last for? How stable was it?
In our experiments, we could get them approaching a second. What's fascinating scientifically is that normally a plasma of this nature would recombine and disappear in milliseconds, but this can persist 1,000 times longer, unsupported.
And why do you think it's doing that? What's binding it?
Well, that's exactly the question that scientists have been interested in and what we hope to learn more about. The hypothesis we have, and our results are consistent with that, is that you have these positive and negative charges that are collecting a lot of water molecules, clustering around the charge. And that water cluster inhibits the positives and negatives from recombining and then neutralizing.
So they're somehow attracting. There's an internal attraction there.
So, right. The reason why plasmas are so unstable typically is that those charges, like in opposites attract, right? So positives and negatives have one of the strongest, the Coulomb force, one of the strongest forces in nature, attracting them together. And so what's occurring in these plasmoids is an inhibition of that attraction or hindering that recombination.
And do you see this as a pure science? I mean, it's a great contribution to understanding. Does it go beyond that for everybody, you know, who loves to say, oh, well, this will have applications in this, that, or the other?
Well, we work for the United States Air Force, and one of our missions is to explore new phenomena. Because while we may not be able to predict what the application would be, almost certainly when we explore new phenomena, applications emerge. I think it's still too early to know what one might do with this phenomenon, but it is remarkable in some of the behaviors that it possesses. And people have hypothesized perhaps it being some sort of a battery.
Oh, it would be a store for energy. If you could
a store of energy,
lock
correct.
It in.
Correct.
In your paper in the Journal of Physical Chemistry, do you actually provide a recipe? I mean, could other scientists or chemists actually replicate this now?
Yes, indeed. It's actually remarkably straightforward under the right conditions to produce these phenomena. There's not much of a mystery behind it now once this phenomenon was discovered. The first to actually produce these aqueous types of plasmas was by two scientists at the Institute for Nuclear Physics in Leningrad in Russia. They were looking at sort of the nuclear physics associated with this. What we applied was really to try, what we were investigating was the chemistry and internal structure within these systems.
So, although it's not something we could probably do in the kitchen, it is out there, and you anticipate a lot more people are going to be working on this from now on because of
I suspect so. It's such a fascinating area of research.
Well, to see Michael Lindsay at the Energetic Materials Branch of the U.S. Air Force Research Laboratory, presumably they must have a sluggish materials branch as well. We're